Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And the lectionary chops this up, so I'm going to go ahead and read those missing lines. I think they're important to our context. So if you're following in your pew Bible, we're going to do Matthew 11, 16 through 30. On page 994 in your pew Bible. Jesus said this, "To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions." Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed. "Because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have been repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it would be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down into the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." At the same time, Jesus said this, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Ira Progoff wrote a little book called The Well and the Cathedral. Not very significant, but an interesting story. He tells a story about people who long ago discovered a well with very special water. People came year after year to drink that refreshing water, and they felt healed and made whole by that water. Then someone said, "Let's build a building over the well." They built a building. Years passed, and others said, "Let's build a cathedral there." And they built it. And as the years passed, the institutional church got bigger and bigger, and people forgot about the well. That wellspring of health and well-being underneath. It may be that that's where our institutional church is today. We have forgotten where the well is, and we keep building on top of it. I was shocked this week to find out that a Lutheran church had adopted what is called the Sparkle Creed. Have you ever heard of it? I see a few nods, maybe a few people haven't. They've taken the Apostles' Creed and rewritten it to align with the concerns about the LGBTQ plus community. It says, I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic. He had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling, a child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one little white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the Church of Everyday Saints as numerous, creative, resilient as patches on the quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling of each of us is to love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. I know that there were good intentions behind that. There was somebody who wanted to lift up a persecuted community. I get that. We are Christians. But to rewrite an ancient creed, it's one more instance of building more stuff on top of the well. Further occluding what is important here, what we come here for is to drink deeply of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as our scripture shows, you know, it's always been that way, hasn't it? Jesus did miracles, healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind in each one of those little towns they talked about. In Capernaum, it was his hometown, and people got to see him. That was his headquarters. And they saw him every day, and he preached in their synagogue. And they didn't get it. They kept building on top of the well. Jesus was frustrated. He mourned the loss of whole cities because they just didn't pay attention to what he was teaching. He cried out, woe to Chorazin, woe to Capernaum. The whole of Jewish society in Jesus' time was so convinced that God would work according to their understanding that they failed to remember that God is sovereign. And God will act according to God's will, not theirs. The Messiah, the Savior they were looking for, was a military leader, one to overthrow the Roman army. Their minds were so closed that there was no other possibility. They could not receive the message that God was sending them in the person of Jesus. The result was their stubborn, small-mindedness was that they were going to go to hell. They were doomed because they could not open their minds. They never got to the well. Now, Jesus spoke pretty harshly about those folks. He cared very much that they would hear and understand the salvation that God was offering them, but few of them would hear and fewer yet would believe. Yet Jesus didn't stop there, did he? He didn't stop preaching the gospel. And even in the same speech in which he condemned Chorazin and Capernaum, he still turned tenderly to these people and he said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We live in a society that's pretty much rejected Jesus. They've rejected the Bible as the Word of God. They've rejected biblical morality. And they've advocated a morality based upon human feelings. No longer is it something you can call political correctness. It's something beyond that now that's becoming the law of the land. Rather than the golden rule of loving God and loving neighbor, speaking out against sin is now hate speech. How does Christ want us to work in such a society? Christ expects us, I believe, to do exactly as he did. Never give up. But being a member of the church, remember not to build over the well, but make it accessible. What did Jesus tell the woman at the well? He says, I can give you living water that will well up unto you to a never-ending flow. That's what has been entrusted to us. We are the people who keep the well. It is a gift. It is also a burden and a trust. But what is it that Jesus said about that? He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. A yoke, of course, we know is like a harness that was fit over the shoulders of the ox. And what did the ox do? The ox plowed the ground, it tilled it, and prepared it for seed. But Jesus' yoke is not restrictive. It just provides a useful structure. His yoke is easy. It's really a gift, isn't it? It's a practice that harnesses us to bring forth life, to bring people to the well. My burden is light, he says. Come all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And so, let's be guardians of the well. Not allow it to be built over or plastered in or covered up, but the well that is Jesus Christ, the very power of his salvation, the love that he poured out on the cross for each and every one of us, may that, as I often do when I pronounce the benediction, I say, may the Lord fill you with his grace, and may your life be the character of his love. That's really what we're after. That's what the yoke is, to make ourselves the character of Jesus' love. To, in other words, be Jesus for this society. Is it going to be easy? Of course not. He got crucified for it. Can we expect much less? The society will not accept us, but yet still we offer them this gift. We offer them the living water. And help them find the place where they can get it. And so may he continue to empower this church and each and every one of us to be keepers of the well, keepers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have been recipients of the living water. You have healed us, you have strengthened us, you have blessed us, but not to a purposeless life, but to a life dedicated to giving, as our Christ has given for us. Help us to remember that, to visit the well often and bring as many people as we can to its living water. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.